Empire. This is Fran Thomas, and the program is Issues and Answers, your weekly community access programming for Mendocino and Lake Counties. Today, we will be talking about Forest Forever with Paul Hughes from
Forest
Forever.
Paul, could you start
by giving us a little background information on your organization?
Yes, Forest Forever was founded in 1989 to sponsor a ballot measure that went before the voters in 1990. That was Proposition 130, which became popularly known as the Forest Forever Initiative. And basically, it would have banned clear-cutting in California and saved the Headwaters Forest. It would have set aside some bond revenues to acquire ancient forests in the state and done some other things. And it was outspent about 6-1 by our opponents and still came within 2 percentage points of victory in 1990. That's how we got our start, but we've kept on going ever since and kept on building on the public's enthusiasm for saving our ancient forests, and we continue to organize.
So right now you're working on the Jackson Demonstration State Forest Plan, but what other projects have you done?
Yes, well, the Headwaters Forest was our biggest fight by far. We did that for about 10 years. Culminating in the acquisition of the Headwaters Forest Preserve, which opened to the public in 99. That's a 7,500-acre preserve of ancient redwoods in Humboldt County, and we were instrumental in that. There were many groups involved, but our key and unique role was getting the massive public to speak out and write tens of thousands of letters, place calls, emails, and faxes to various decision-makers to get that forest saved. There's a long way to go, but at least there is the preserve in place there. And then we also were instrumental in 2000 in getting the giant Sequoia National Monument protected. Again, it's not everything we wanted in the way of a victory, but 328,000 acres of ancient Sequoia habitat in the Southern Sierra was set aside by President Clinton as a national monument, and we again worked for about a year on getting the public focused on it and speaking out in favor of saving the Sequoia.
So is letter writing campaigns, are those one of your main strategies for getting this issue out?
Yes, it is. We don't hire lobbyists at Forest Forever to go out and lobby the Capitol so much as we do mass grassroots lobbying. We talk to thousands and thousands of Californians and get them to become aware of the issues, get materials into their hands, and get them to do the lobbying, get them to speak out and express their viewpoints about the issues to decision makers. And that is our unique strength.
And what is the significance of the name Demonstration Forest?
Well, it was set up in 1947 by the legislature back when timber was king in Mendocino County, and there were still a lot of ancient forests and big redwood stands up there to log. The purpose was to demonstrate that it was profitable to log second-growth redwoods, that is, redwoods that were coming up after an extensive harvest in the area. And that was felt to be needed to be demonstrated at that time because virtually all the timber companies were just cutting old growth, and everybody knew you could make a profit from that. But they weren't apparently so aware that you could profitably log the smaller trees. So the idea was to demonstrate that that could be done, and I think we all know now that that has been amply proven. In fact, the redwood timberlands that were owned by Louisiana Pacific and other companies in Mendocino County have been cut down to third and fourth rotations now. So they're getting actually retooling the mills to take smaller and smaller trees. The demonstration purpose of the forest system, especially Jackson, is now really a moot one. There's no need to demonstrate that any longer, that it's profitable to log those trees.
So it was not always a profitable venture to have second growth trees. What is CDF's response, the California Department of Forestry, what is their response right now to people's concerns regarding the second growth trees?
Well, CDF is quite frankly interested primarily in the cash stream that comes from logging Jackson Forest. They get money for the agency budget for logging those trees. They sell them, And the money provides some staffing and other funds for their programs, particularly a program called the Forest Resources Improvement Fund, which few people really know about or understand. It's about $17 million a year up until 2001, when litigation halted the logging at Jackson, at least temporarily. And the FRIF, or Forest Resources Improvement Fund, doles out money to landowners and smaller programs for various purposes, including cleanup of environmental messes left behind by timber operations. We don't feel as if that's a particularly appropriate use of that money. And so their response is that, well, we're doing good logging at Jackson. We're doing, we need to keep on demonstrating various aspects of commercial logging and refining these processes and techniques. We need to do all kinds of research and so forth at the forest involved logging. But the truth is that it's about the money. They want to keep that revenue stream coming
in. So the money is being used to help fund the Department of Forestry, just their administrative costs, and then
exactly
private industry in the area as well. Is that what you were saying?
Yes, at least some of the money that goes into the FRIF, the Forest Resources Improvement Fund, does clean up messes left behind by private timber operators.
So why is CDF advocating clear cutting?
Well, that's another one where you get industry arguments that are mainly about the profit motive, saying that clear cutting is healthy for the forest and that it mimics a natural burn and things like that. Well, the difference between a clear cut and a natural forest fire is that all the nutrient capital is removed and taken off to a sawmill in the case of clear cutting, whereas with a burn or with a forest that has dead snags in it, that nutrient capital stays there, decays, and is returned to the soil, air, and water. Clear cutting is not a good practice for the environment. The truth is that they want to keep doing it because it benefits short-term economic considerations the most. You can get the most money out of the forest the fastest, increase your short-term cash flow by doing clear cutting. Obviously, there's a long-term cost. The taxpayer usually ends up picking up the tab for a lot of that with polluted air, degraded wildlife habitat, destroyed aesthetic and recreational values, and so on.
What would the alternative be to clear cutting?
Well, now, in general, the alternative is to do a kind of forestry that we loosely refer to as sustainable logging, and it is done in some places, notably Soquel State Forest, which is a sibling state forest to Jackson, does a pretty good job of logging. That's down near Santa Cruz. And what you do is, instead of taking out every single tree on a patch of land and leaving behind piles of slash and wrecked soil, what you do is you take out a certain number of merchantable trees, but leave a variety of species and a variety of ages behind. So it's uneven aged harvesting, leaving the canopy structure, leaving different sized trees, including some big ones, and some standing dead trees and so forth, and some downed logs and all behind. That allows the forest to continue to function fairly normally, and it preserves a lot of the habitat.
Has CDF explored this option in a management plan?
Well, yes, at Soquel, they're doing a fairly good job. Soquel, of course, it was mandated by law that Soquel be primarily a restoration and sustainable logging forest. There was a bit of a fight with CDF to get them to manage Soquel properly. When the forest was acquired in 1987, again, Soquel is near Santa Cruz. It's about 5 miles east of Santa Cruz, a 3,000-acre forest, much smaller than Jackson. The CDF wanted to log it, too, and put all the revenue from it into FRIF, most of that money going to support activities outside of Soquel. Environmentalists got together and filed a lawsuit. The county of Santa Cruz joined them and said, there's too much revenue being extracted from this forest. It's supposed to be a restoration forest, and they got that stopped and forced the CDF to rewrite the rules for Soquel to be consistent with the originally legislated purpose of Soquel. And now it's being, they're doing horse logging there, for example. Trees that are felled are removed by teams of horses that drag the logs along and do a lot less damage to the soil than industrial forestry with bulldozers
now,
and trucks.
Now, the Soquel Forest, you said that has a restoration forest designation.
Yes.
Is there any way, are you trying to push for that kind of designation for the Jackson Demonstration State Forest?
We are. We are intending to introduce legislation soon that will change the mandate of Jackson from mandating demonstration of logging and profitability of harvesting timber to a mandate of demonstrating restoration techniques, that is, figuring out ways and refining techniques to bring back conditions that are like old-growth forest, that can recover the habitat at Jackson to something approximating late Cyril or ancient forest characteristics. By the way, there's another purpose for Jackson that gets lost in the shuffle. One of the mandates is to do demonstration logging, as I've mentioned, but it's a co-mandate that Jackson be managed for environmental values. That, in other words, the mandate says that Jackson is supposed to be managed for maximum sustained yield of high-quality timber products while maintaining environmental values, namely aesthetics, recreation, water quality, and so forth. And that aspect of the mandate for Jackson has been sorely neglected.
And is that part of the current management plan?
Well, it's nominally, and it's lip service is paid to that aspect of the mandate. But we feel the management plan is significantly flawed and fails very much to address those environmental values at Jackson. Just to name one piece of evidence for that, the stream buffers at Jackson, that is the no-cut zones along the streams, do not comply with the federal standards for redwood forest region logging. There should be much wider no-cut zones along the streams, and that would make the logging at Jackson at least consistent with stream protection standards that are widely accepted. That's not a part of it. More importantly is that the environmental impact report and management plan for Jackson, which is the subject of this whole debate right now, calls for clear cutting about half of Jackson Forest. And we think that it's an outrage that the public's forest is being clear cut when most folks understand that clear cutting is destructive. It certainly looks bad, and it is bad, and it's been demonstrably so for many decades. Common sense would tell anyone that when rivers are running with mud after clear cuts, it's obvious that it's not good forestry. And so we feel that needs to be changed.
Tell us exactly what is an environmental impact report.
Okay. An environmental impact report, or EIR, is a document that has to be prepared by an agency when it's doing an environmentally impacting activity. Now, in this case, the EIR for Jackson accompanies its management plan. They're tandem documents, and they have to be approved. And all it does is an EIR simply lists and details how the activity contemplated, in this case all the timber management going on at Jackson, is going to impact the environment, how that logging is going to impact fish such as coho and steelhead, which are listed species, how the logging is going to impact growth in the area and air quality and so forth. The main impacts that should be identified in this EIR at Jackson are the impacts on water quality and quantity, the stream corridors, the effect on wildlife habitat, and so forth. It's also supposed to address aesthetics and recreation considerations. That's required by state law. It's required by state law that the EIR document these things and accurately and thoroughly consider them before the project goes forward. We don't feel the EIR does that.
CDF's EIR.
Well, the main one, which we filed a lawsuit now against CDF on October 24th, is that they completely omit what's known as a cumulative impacts assessment. The EIR does not consider the effects of logging at Jackson in concert with or in the context of logging projects that have gone on around the area in the past or that are considered in the future. That is a central pillar of the California Environmental Quality Act, is that these EIRs consider the cumulative effects of the project. There is nothing in the report about the EIR for Jackson about cumulative effects. It's a glaring omission.
I'm wondering, considering that it's difficult to make quantifiable projections into the future sometimes, are the shortcomings of this EIR typical of EIRs in general, or is this an exception?
This is an exception. Most EIRs are pretty straightforward about addressing cumulative impacts. This one is unusual in that it omits that entirely and really leaves the EIR open to legal challenge, and it has now been challenged. EIRs generally, however, although they do include cumulative impacts assessments, they're usually not very good. They're not usually very well done. They're motivated by getting the report finished so that the project can go ahead. There's usually a dollar incentive behind it for someone, and they simply often go through the motions of preparing an EIR. Now, that's changed over the years as the public has gotten more attentive to sloppy planning and poor environmental assessment, and has taken on legal challenges, put those forward and challenged these EIRs when they're inadequate. We're serving the public interest in doing so. That's the purpose of the law. But generally, EIRs are not great and often are challenged to make them better. And as a result, that oftentimes results in modifications to these projects. So the system does work. When you challenge an inadequate EIR and improve it or force the agency to look at the project again, you oftentimes force them to consider alternatives or mitigate environmental damage.
Who contributed to the design of CDF's management plan?
They contracted it out first through an outfit called Natural Resources Management, and that was a business that was owned by Gary Reinierson on the Board of Forestry. We felt that was a conflict of interest and objected, and so he recused himself from all the management plan decisions going forward from that point, and the EIR was then farmed out to SHN of Eureka, which completed the EIR. The EIR is prepared by consultants hired by the California Department of Forestry.
Now, what is the Forestry Board's role in deciding the future of the forest when considering the next step from here?
Well, the Board of Forestry's job generally is to make decisions about whether logging projects go ahead in the state, and they have very broad jurisdiction. They are the members of the Board of Forestry are appointed by the governor, and they have now approved this management plan for Jackson. The Board of Forestry voted to allow it to go forward. Their job from this point forward is to see the management plan implemented and serve in an oversight capacity, making sure that the CDF is doing its job properly. We will be challenging a lot of what CDF has to say and do about this Jackson management, however. But the Board of Forestry is in a broad oversight-type role, very important.
Now, what is your next step in confronting this management plan and getting some changes?
Okay. Well, we are going to be publicizing Jackson Forest as an issue, getting it out in front of the public in a way that it has never been seen before. Folks right now don't really know even what Jackson is or where it is. It's not even on many state roadmaps. It's sort of a best-kept secret of the California Department of Forestry. And our next step, which is going on now, is to make it more visible than it ever has been. Let the public know this is your forest and here's what's happening to it. It's being clear-cut on an industrial scale for the generation of money. Then we're also going to be pursuing our lawsuit. We're expecting to have hearing dates set in the coming months. That, again, is to challenge the inadequacy of the EIR for the Jackson Management Plan. And we're going to be introducing legislation at some point soon to change the mandate of Jackson from a logging forest, demonstration forest, to a restoration forest. So we've got our hands pretty full right now.
Yep, it sounds like it. There's just a few minutes left. Would you like to add anything?
Well, let's see. I guess, let me think a second about that. One of the things I guess that I would like to make a point of is that the logging done at Jackson is not usually done as well as logging would be done on land that's owned by a timber company that's pursuing that logging. In other words, the board of the CDF accepts the highest bid when it sells its Jackson timber. And the highest bidder then goes in and gets that logging done. And because it's not their land, it's the state government's land, the taxpayer's land, oftentimes the logging is not done with as much sensitivity to environmental protection as it would be if that logging were done on that timber operator's own land. So we think that that's an important item that really needs to be noted. Another item I would highlight is that CDF is continuing to sell timber when the market is largely glutted with timber. Prices are relatively low right now, and by dumping more timber into this market, it creates downward pressure on prices for lumber. This in turn helps or hurts the small landowner disproportionately. Small landowners suffer the most when prices drop for lumber. Another reason for the CDF not to be doing logging in Jackson. I guess a third point, and tell me when I should stop here, is that it looks as if the CDF wants to catch up and do a lot more logging in 2003 and beyond to make up for the 2 years they've lost. The litigation that was filed against CDF stopped the logging at Jackson until a current management plan could be prepared, and that stopped the logging for 2001 and 2002. So CDF has lost two seasons. They've lost 2 years of revenue coming in through the frith from selling Jackson timber. They're apparently now going to try to make that up and ramp up the logging in next year and beyond. Concerns us a great deal.
So this is going to be a big issue the next year or two then.
Yeah, it's going to be increasingly a hot issue.
All right. Well, thank you for speaking with us, Paul Hughes, about Forest Forever and the Jackson Demonstration State Forest. I'm Fran Thomas, and I've been hosting Issues and Answers. We've been speaking with Paul Hughes. Remember to listen every week at this time for your community access programming. Issues that concern you and I where we live in Lake and Mendocino counties. Have a wonderful morning. This is KUKI.